Good morning, church. I'd like to welcome all of our members and especially our visitors. We have a number of people that are visiting with us today, some from within Las Vegas and some from out of town. We extend a very hearty welcome to you and glad that you came to worship us. Our topic today is gossip. Gossip is something that every one of us probably has been affected by. We've either participated in it or it's been done about us. A lot of us have done both. It's been done about you and you've participated. It's more dangerous than one would think. Gossip is not just little harmless chit-chat amongst friends. It's dangerous, and it can be hurtful. And I'm seeing some heads nodding. And so it has affected people. We want to make sure that we don't participate in this hurtful behavior. I'm going to ask just a question, don't need to respond, but just something to think about. I heard this years ago, and it really drove home to me. Would it make you feel better to go to hell for one sin rather than another sin? Would it make you feel better to go to hell for gossiping rather than murder or adultery or stealing or something like that? You can go to hell for gossiping just like you can for murder or stealing. And when we think about that, we don't want to go to hell at all. And it's that dangerous. Gossip is basically slander. You're hurting a person's reputation a lot of the time by this. In fact, the word gossip and slander are often interchanged. The word for slander is diablos, the devil. And it is one of the devil's main weapons. And when we put it that way, it kind of, you know, when we think about if we're gossiping or if gossip's being done about us, we just know it's one of the devil's main weapons. We see that word slanderers in 2 Timothy and in Titus, and it's the root word diablos, having to do with the devil, from the devil. Why do people gossip? Well, sometimes pride. They know something others don't. That makes me special. Why? And people want to come to you for that special information. That's not necessarily intent to hurt somebody. Some people gossip purely to hurt others. We were talking in Bible class today. Gossip is perfect guerrilla warfare. Not just going to go right up to you and slug it out, stand toe to toe and have it out. Have a little Donnybrook right here. You know what? But I can go behind your back and slander you. I can gossip about you and get a lot more damage done than a stand up toe to toe. I'll go behind the scenes. I'll ambush you with gossip. It's perfect guerrilla warfare. And then there's just that. Some people, that's their intention. That's the intention. Some people do it because I know something. I'm nothing. But I get a piece of information and now I'm somebody. And then there's the people, sometimes they just want to hurt you. Something of participating with, you know, by listening to it, you got to ask yourself, if they're going to talk about others, are they going to be talking about you? Are you going to be the topic when they run out of topics? You know, something just to put in the back of your mind. Some questions that we have to ask ourselves. I'm not going to... There is a difference between two friends talking confidentially. There's a difference in getting godly counsel about a situation and gossip. Sometimes the line is kind of fine. Most people know the difference. I don't need to tell you when it is and isn't gossip. Most people generally know, but they do it anyway. And they do it about you anyway. Some questions to ask ourselves. And these are, I wish I could have come up with these. I've heard these used for many, many years. Before you share information, ask yourself, is it even true? A lot of times, gossip that's spreading around isn't even factual. It didn't really even happen. Or it's twisted. Don't get me started about the media, but ask yourself, is it true? It may not even be true. If it is true, is it necessary? Just because it's true doesn't mean it needs to be shared. Now, there's a difference in gossip and pointing out false doctrine. Big deal, and we'll talk about that later. But not everything that's true is necessarily need to be public knowledge. And ask yourself, does it build up or does it tear down? And that might be a person's intent to begin with. But if your intent is godly, ask yourself, confirm whether it's true or not. And if it is even, okay, if big deal if it is true. Some people think just because it's true, it should be put out there. No. And ask yourself, is it going to build somebody up or is it going to discourage them? Refuse to protect. It stops right there if nobody listens. Frank, I got some juicy info. You know what? I don't know if I need to be listening to this. And you don't have to be rude. You know what? Let's not talk about it. You know what? When you listen to gossip, it's shaping and affecting the way you view that other person. You may not know anything about it. And now you're viewing that person. And it might not even be true, but it's affecting the way you look at them. Refuse to participate. End it right. What was it? Andy told Barney, God, nip it in the bud. Barney told Andy, nip it in the bud. If you don't listen to it, it stops right there. Or they'll just go find somebody else. And then you know what you're dealing with. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Sometimes, I think that's what duct tape was invented for. Amen. You know, there's a lot of uses for duct tape. But sometimes we need to remember Psalm 141, verse 3. Our scripture reading this morning, Pete read from Proverbs 6, powerful few verses. The six things the Lord hates. Some strong language here. Hates. Yes, seven are an abomination. These are not just things, oh, I'd prefer not to deal with. These are an abomination to God. And if you notice, of these seven things, three of them have to do with our mouth. Three of those seven abominations have to do with the way we use our mouth. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Goes back to that question I brought up. Would it make us feel better to go to hell for discord rather than murdering somebody? James talks about the power of the mouth. He brings it forth and lays it out in a very logical way, and there's not a lot of wiggle room. Not a lot of justifying gossip. Not a lot of justifying the misuse. I'll tell you, the mouth can preach the gospel. The mouth can encourage somebody to do things that they wouldn't have done on their own. It can get somebody out of the dark corners in their life that they're in. But the mouth can also spread false doctrine. The mouth can discourage, can run people away from the church. All with the mouth. And James addresses this. He says, starting in verse 7, "For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Amen. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." You shouldn't be using your mouth in one breath praising God and then discouraging people, cursing men, gossiping about them, slandering them, just discouraging them in general. Proverbs 11, verse 9, it says, "The hypocrite with his mouth," not his fist, "with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." And then skipping a few verses to verse 13, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." There's the big difference. Reveals secrets. Let's say the secret is true. Doesn't mean it needs to be out there. But it's true. Okay? I'll give you that one. Doesn't mean that it needs to get out. In Hebrews 3:13, the Hebrew writer says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today." As long as it's today, you exhort people. And tomorrow, when tomorrow becomes today, you exhort people. And when the next day after tomorrow becomes today, you exhort people. You exhort people. Exhort people does not mean hurt them, backbite, talk to the peanut crowd about them. It says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Isn't it easy to justify why we tell that information? We got a list a mile long of why we should tell it. One, people say, well, it's true. Doesn't necessarily need to get out there. There's a big difference between counsel and gossip. And you know the difference. You know the difference. I'm not going to sit here and bring up every situation. You know the difference. Any conversation that starts out, I know I shouldn't say this, but then don't. Now, Van, don't tell anyone, but don't tell anyone, let me be the one. You don't tell. I want to be able to get over and tell Reese. You don't tell him. I want to go tell him. I shouldn't say anything, but a lot of buts around. I don't mean to gossip, but you're even knowing it's gossip. God forgive me, but I'm going to God first and asking for the forgiveness. I know it's wrong. God forgive me. Give like God's going to give you his blessing. You know what I've heard? Don't want to know. Titus 1, verse 10 and 11. Paul was telling Titus the danger of this. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Now, in context, this is talking about false teaching. Gossip is false teaching. Well, to be false teaching doesn't have to be religious text. But this shows just how dangerous misuse of the mouth is. In Galatians 5:9, Paul tells the Galatians, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It doesn't take much gossip for it to just spread to everybody. You can almost see it oozing out amongst a group. And it's powerful. It really is. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul explains how gossip had affected him. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. He was resisting false teaching, was running a campaign against Paul. Romans 16, he's telling the Romans how to deal with it. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Point them out, the false teachers, the people that cause division. And that's ultimately what gossip does, is it causes division. You start picking sides. People start shunning, you know, based on what they had heard. He says, you note those and avoid them. In 1 Timothy, he says, this was in context talking about women. I don't know if Paul was saying women have a little bit more tendency to do this than others. Anybody can gossip. Anybody can gossip, but I tell you, I've seen some women, they've got it down to a fine art. But besides, they learn to be idle. This was talking about women. Men can gossip also. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Paul was pulling no punches here. He's calling them, idle, gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not. But Paul, it's true. I'm not lying. It's true. Saying things which they ought not. I want to reread this what we started with in the lesson's yours. Proverbs 6, starting verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Goes back to that question, would you feel better? Not you, but would somebody feel better going to hell as a gossip rather than a murderer? Lesson's yours. We've all been affected one way or the other by gossip. We're getting ready. Michael's going to lead us in the invitation song. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayer, through repentance, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, whatever your need, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing together.